Welcome back, everybody. Today we're going to be doing a deep dive on
Cardology,
cardiology.
which is pretty fascinating. I'm pretty excited to get into this one.
Yeah, me too. So we've got a whole stack of sources here: books, articles, historical accounts.
Yeah, it's
and they all promise to kind of lift the veil on cardology.
Yeah, yeah.
And show us how this system can be used to understand ourselves and the world.
Yeah, it's presented as this like ancient system with roots in Atlantis and the Sumerian tablets.
A bold claim.
Yeah, pretty bold.
Yeah.
But it's fascinating to think that, like, you know, there might be this knowledge
right
encoded in a deck of cards.
Yeah, like a secret code waiting to be cracked.
Exactly.
So let's break it down.
Okay.
What is cardology?
So at its core, cardology uses a standard 52-card deck.
Okay.
To understand personalities, life events, and relationships.
Right.
And they give a specific meaning to each card.
Okay.
And then you interpret that meaning through all these calculations based on your birthday.
Okay. So like each card tells a story.
Exactly. Yeah. Your life card, which is calculated from your birthday, it's like the main character of your story and represents your personality, your life path.
Okay, so like if I'm a queen of hearts, does that mean I'm destined to rule like a love kingdom?
Not quite. No, no, no.
Okay.
It's not that literal.
Okay.
It's more about understanding your strengths and weaknesses.
Okay, so where does this whole system come from?
Well, the sources trace it back to ancient Mesopotamia.
Wow.
And suggest that like the Magi.
Oh, wow.
That, you know.
The wise men?
Yeah, the wise men who followed the star to Bethlehem might have been early practitioners of this.
It's amazing to think that these ancient traditions are encoded in a deck of cards.
Right.
Yeah, but if this knowledge is so ancient, why haven't we heard more about it?
Well, some sources claim that cardology was actually suppressed
by
the church and forced to go underground. And it reemerged disguised as just like playing cards.
So it's like this hidden wisdom waiting to be rediscovered.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I'm hooked.
Right.
So how does it work?
Okay.
Do the cards themselves have specific meanings?
Yeah. So each of the four suits, hearts, clubs, diamonds, spades, they represent different aspects of life.
Okay.
So like hearts, you know, love, emotions, relationships.
Right.
Clubs, you've got your intellect, communication, learning.
Makes sense.
Diamonds are values, material wealth, ambition.
Okay.
And then spades are work, transformation, challenges, even spirituality.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. What about the numbers on the cards? Do those have any significance?
Yeah, yeah. So each face value from ace to king adds another layer of meaning.
Okay.
So aces are beginnings, twos, partnerships, threes, choices, and so on.
So it's like each card is like a combo of these different elements.
Right.
The suit, the number, and your personal calculations.
Right, yeah. It can even get more complex when you start looking at karma cards.
Karma cards, what are those?
So karma cards, they are supposedly derived from your life card and represent like karmic influences from past lives that shape your strengths and weaknesses in this life.
Okay, that's getting deep.
Mm.
So cardology suggests our past lives can influence our present.
That's what the sources are saying.
Wow.
And it goes even deeper than that. They talk about this concept called parity.
Parity.
Yeah, odd and even numbers.
Okay.
And it determines whether a card is more masculine or feminine.
Okay.
Or active or receptive.
Okay, my head's spinning a little bit.
I know.
Can we get like a concrete example?
Yeah, sure.
How this works?
Let's look at the Queen of Diamonds.
Okay, so what does it mean if someone's life card is the Queen of Diamonds?
Well, according to one source, the Queen of Diamonds is organized, ambitious, driven to succeed.
Okay.
Thrives on structure and leadership.
This is like a pretty good hand to be dealt.
Yeah.
Are there any downsides to being a Queen of Diamonds?
Of course, no card is all positive or all negative.
Right.
But some of those same traits can also lead to, like, control issues or a tendency to be overly demanding.
So it's like they need to learn to use their power wisely.
Exactly. And that's where the idea of playing your cards right comes in.
Right.
Cardology isn't about accepting like a fixed fate.
Okay.
It's about understanding your strengths and weaknesses so you can make conscious choices to lead a more fulfilling life.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
How
about another example?
Yeah, let's do one more.
What about the Seven of Spades?
Seven of Spades. Okay.
So that card is often described as the spiritual seeker.
Okay.
Someone who's drawn to explore the deeper meaning of life.
Interesting. What kind of personality traits might we see in a Seven of Spades?
Well, they tend to be intuitive, introspective,
okay,
and often drawn to creative pursuits.
Okay.
But they can also be prone to self-doubt and a tendency to overthink things.
So it's like they've got a strong connection to the spiritual realm, but they're also grappling with their inner critic. Yeah, exactly. And that struggle can be both, you know, a source of growth and frustration.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm starting to see how each card represents a unique set of strengths and challenges.
Yeah.
But how does cardology actually, like, help someone navigate those challenges and make better choices?
So that's where the idea of red pill reflection comes in.
Okay, remind me where the red pill idea comes from.
Yeah, so that's from the movie The Matrix.
Right. Okay.
And taking the red pill symbolizes choosing to see the truth, even if it's unsettling.
Right.
And so in cardology, it's about facing your shadow side.
Okay.
Those aspects of your personality that you might be trying to hide or deny.
So it's about confronting, like, the parts of ourselves that we might not like.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And the sources say that by doing that, by acknowledging and integrating those shadow aspects, you can achieve greater self-awareness and ultimately live more fulfilling and authentic lives.
I like that. It's not about being perfect.
Right.
It's about understanding and accepting all parts of ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of the key takeaways from our deep dive so far. It's not just about predicting the future or revealing some predetermined destiny.
Right.
It's about using these cards as a tool for self-discovery.
Yeah.
And personal growth.
Absolutely.
And making choices that align with our authentic selves.
I think that's a great summary.
But before we get too carried away, we got to remember that all of this is based on a system that some might consider, well, a bit out there.
Definitely. It's important to approach cardology with a critical mind.
Absolutely. We always encourage our listeners to do their own research.
Yeah.
You know, explore different perspectives and form their own conclusions.
Absolutely.
You know, cardology may not be for everyone.
Sure.
But it offers this really fascinating lens through which to view ourselves.
Yeah, it is fascinating.
And the world around us.
Yeah.
And who knows, maybe you'll find some surprising insights along the way.
They?
Okay, so we've laid the groundwork for understanding what cardology is, where it comes from. But now I'm really curious to learn more about those specific card meanings.
Sure.
You mentioned, like, those master scripts and how all of this connects to our individual lives.
Right. So let's dive in.
Okay.
The sources provide some fascinating insights into how cardology can be used to, you know, analyze personality, understand life patterns, even navigate relationships.
This is getting really interesting. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be back after a quick break to explore the deeper mysteries of cardology.
Looking forward to it.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
All right. See you in a bit.
See ya.
All right. So we've talked about the basics of cardology.
Mm.
You know, the suits, the numbers, the life cards.
Right.
But you mentioned something called master scripts.
Yes.
What are those? How do they fit into all of this?
So master scripts are essentially mathematical arrangements of all 52 cards that supposedly reveal, like, a divine order for life on Earth.
Yep.
They're like cosmic blueprints that outline the different stages of human experience.
Okay, that sounds pretty complex.
Yeah.
Can you give me an example of, like, how a master script works?
Sure. One source describes a master script called the Master Heaven script.
Okay.
And it arranges the cards into seven rows, and each one represents a different planetary influence.
Okay, so it's not just about the cards themselves.
Right.
It's also about the planets.
Yeah, the planets add another layer of meaning to the cards.
Okay.
For example, one source explains that the seven of spades,
okay,
when placed in the Jupiter-Neptune row of the Master Heaven script, it takes on a more spiritual significance.
Okay. And what does that tell us with the seven of spades?
Well, it suggests that this card, you know, often associated with intuition and introspection,
right,
might also be connected to themes of faith, trust, and higher purpose.
Okay.
It's like the planetary influences amplify certain aspects of the card's meaning.
So it's like this, like, cosmic symphony.
Yeah.
With the cards and planets playing different notes.
That's a beautiful way to put it.
Yeah.
And these master scripts supposedly hold the key to understanding not just individual destinies, but the grand theme of things,
yeah,
the overarching patterns that govern life on Earth.
Okay, that's a lot to take in.
Yeah.
But how do these master scripts connect to our individual lives?
Right.
Like, we each have our own life card, right?
Right. And that's where the concept of life scripts comes in.
Okay.
These are personalized arrangements of the cards.
Okay.
Calculated from your birth date that map out your unique journey through life.
So, like, each of us has our own, like, mini master script.
Exactly. And just like the master scripts, your life script also includes planetary influences that shape the expression of each card.
Okay, I'm starting to see how this all fits together.
Yeah.
But can you give me like a concrete example of how a life script might work?
Sure. One source analyzes the life script of the Five of Spades,
Okay.
and it highlights the influence of the Queen of Spades in the Mercury stage, which suggests that this individual might be particularly skilled at communication and self-expression.
Okay.
However, the Two of Clubs in Saturn might indicate challenges or lessons related to cooperation and compromise.
So it's like a cosmic roadmap,
Yeah.
highlighting our strengths and maybe the areas we might need to work on.
Exactly. And it's not just about understanding our own life script,
Right.
but also about seeing how it interacts with the life scripts of others.
Okay, that makes sense. So it's a cardology can also be used to analyze relationships.
Absolutely.
That's fascinating. Can you give us an example of how that might work?
Sure. Imagine a relationship between like a Seven of Hearts and a Queen of Diamonds.
Okay.
The Seven of Hearts, often drawn to emotional depth and connection,
Right.
might clash with the Queen of Diamonds' more pragmatic and ambitious nature.
So it's like they're speaking different languages.
Yeah, in a way, yes.
Okay.
And understanding those differences through the lens of cardology might help them navigate those challenges and find ways to appreciate each other's strengths.
Okay, I'm really starting to see how this system can be applied to different areas of life.
Yeah.
But I think before we go any further,
Sure.
we should take a closer look at some of those individual card meanings. You know, we've
Right.
touched on a few,
Yeah.
like the Queen of Diamonds and the Seven of Spades,
Yeah.
but there's 52 cards in a deck.
That's right. Each card has its own story to tell.
Right.
And the sources we have, they provide some pretty detailed interpretations.
Perfect. So let's dive into some of those card interpretations.
Okay.
What can you tell me about the Jack of Clubs?
Okay, so the Jack of Clubs is described as having a feminine receptive energy with the potential for both high and low expressions.
Okay, so in practical terms, what kind of personality traits might we see in a Jack of Clubs?
Well, on the positive side, they're described as creative, playful, imaginative.
Okay.
They might be artistic, romantic, and independent,
Okay.
with like a natural charm and charisma.
That sounds like a fun person to be around.
Yeah.
You mentioned low expressions as well.
Right, like any card, the Jack of Clubs has a shadow side.
Right.
So they can also be irresponsible, immature, indecisive,
Okay.
with a tendency to manipulate or deceive if they're not careful.
So it's like they need to learn to channel that creativity and that charm
Right.
in positive ways.
Exactly. And cardology suggests that understanding their karma cards can help them do that.
Okay, remind me how those karma cards work again.
So in this case, the Jack of Clubs challenging karma card, according to one source, is the Six of Clubs.
Okay.
This suggests that they might have to overcome challenges related to honesty and integrity. Their
Okay.
supporting karma card is the Six of Spades,
Okay.
indicating a need to embrace authenticity and face the consequences of their actions.
So it's like they have a karmic lesson to learn about being true to themselves and others.
That's one interpretation.
Yeah.
And it highlights how cardology isn't just about describing personality, but also about understanding the challenges and opportunities that we face in life.
Okay, I'm starting to see the depth of this system.
Yeah.
What about the Seven of Hearts? What kind of person does that card represent?
So the Seven of Hearts is described as having a masculine, giving energy with a wide range of potential expressions. They can be incredibly faithful, spiritual, and forgiving, with a deep capacity for love and compassion.
Wow.
They might be gifted artists, musicians, or healers
Yep.
with a natural ability to inspire and uplift others.
They sound like a saint.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing they also have a shadow side.
Of course, the Seven of Hearts, like all of us, has their struggles.
Right.
They can be prone to restlessness, worry, and a tendency to be overly critical of themselves and others.
Okay.
They might also struggle with control issues and a fear of being hurt or abandoned.
So it's like they have a big heart, but they have to learn to protect themselves and
Well,
set boundaries.
exactly. And understanding their karma cards can help them navigate those challenges. The source mentions the Eight of Hearts as their challenging karma card. although it doesn't get into specifics.
Okay.
However, it highlights the Ace of Spades as their supporting karma card.
Okay.
Suggesting that they might find strength and resilience through facing their fears and embracing transformation.
So a lesson in surrender and trust.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm seeing how these cards and their interactions can provide these real insights into our personalities and the challenges we face.
Right.
What about the Seven of Spades?
Okay.
How does that compare to the Seven of Hearts?
That's an interesting comparison.
Yeah.
So the Seven of Spades, also a masculine, giving energy,
okay,
shares many of the positive traits of the Seven of Hearts.
Okay.
So they might be faithful, spiritual, forgiving, with a deep capacity for love and compassion.
Okay.
However, the Seven of Spades tends to express those qualities through a more intellectual, analytical lens.
So they're like the philosophers or the seekers of the deck.
Exactly. They might be drawn to explore the mysteries of the universe, to understand the deeper meaning behind life's experiences.
I can see that, but I imagine they probably have their own unique set of challenges as well, right?
Of course. Yeah. Like the Seven of Hearts, they can be prone to restlessness, worry, and a tendency to overthink things.
Yeah.
They might also struggle with control issues and a fear of vulnerability.
So they need to learn to balance their intellectual pursuits with emotional awareness and self-acceptance.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
And their karma cards might offer some insights into how they can achieve that balance.
Okay.
One source suggests that the King of Diamonds, their challenging karma card, represents a past life tendency towards material ambition and a need to control outcomes.
Okay.
This suggests that the Seven of Spades might need to learn to let go of the need to control everything and allow life to unfold naturally.
So a lesson in surrender and trust.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And their supporting karma card, the Eight of Hearts, might offer guidance in this area, although the source doesn't elaborate on its specific influence.
Okay, I'm really starting to see how this whole system works.
Yeah.
You know, it's like each card is a piece of a puzzle.
Yeah.
And by understanding those individual pieces and how they fit together, we gain a deeper understanding of ourselves and the world around us.
That's a wonderful analogy.
Yeah.
And it's important to remember that cardology, like any system of knowledge, requires an open mind and a willingness to explore different perspectives.
Right. We always encourage our listeners to do their own research.
Right.
Experiment with different techniques and see what resonates with them.
Absolutely. The ultimate goal is to use this knowledge to enhance our self-awareness, understand our strengths and challenges, and ultimately live more fulfilling and meaningful lives.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm ready to explore some more of these fascinating card interpretations.
Okay, great.
What can you tell us about the Queen of Diamonds?
Okay, so the Queen of Diamonds is a powerful, dynamic card, often associated with leadership, ambition, and success.
Okay.
She's organized, efficient, and knows how to get things done.
All right.
She might be a successful businesswoman, a community leader,
okay,
or a force to be reckoned with in any field she chooses.
Sounds like someone I wouldn't want to cross.
Oh.
But I'm guessing she has her weaknesses as well, right?
Of course, the Queen of Diamonds, like all of us, has her shadow side.
Right.
Her strengths, when taken to an extreme, can become weaknesses.
Okay.
Her ambition can turn into ruthlessness. Her drive for success can lead to workaholism. And her need for control can create conflict in her relationships.
Classic case of too much of a good thing.
Exactly. And understanding her karma cards can help her find that balance.
Okay.
The source identifies the Five of Spades as her challenging karma card, suggesting a need to learn to embrace change and let go of the need to control everything.
Okay.
Her supporting karma card, the Jack of Hearts, might encourage her to connect with her playful side and find joy in the present moment.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah. What about the King of Hearts? What kind of energy does he bring to the table?
So the King of Hearts is often described as the compassionate leader.
Okay.
Someone who inspires others through kindness, generosity,
okay,
and a genuine desire to make a difference in the world.
Okay.
He might be a philanthropist, a spiritual teacher,
okay,
or simply a good friend who always knows how to make you feel loved and supported.
He sounds like a real sweetheart. Even the King of Hearts must have a shadow side, right?
Of course, his compassion, when taken to an extreme, can become a weakness.
Okay.
He might be overly trusting, easily manipulated, or struggle to set healthy boundaries in his relationships.
Okay.
His desire to please everyone can lead to resentment and burnout.
So he needs to learn to balance that big heart with a healthy dose of self-care
and
discernment.
Exactly. And his karma cards might offer some insights into how he can do that.
Right.
His challenging karma card is the Two of Clubs, which, according to one source, suggests a need to learn to communicate his needs effectively and avoid people-pleasing tendencies.
Okay.
His supporting karma card, the Queen of Diamonds, might encourage him to step into his power.
Okay.
And use his leadership skills to create positive change in the world.
Okay, I'm really seeing the depth and complexity of these card interpretations.
Yeah.
It's like each card represents a unique archetype.
Right.
With its own set of strengths, weaknesses,
right,
and potential for growth.
Absolutely. And it's important to remember that these interpretations are not meant to be definitive or absolute.
Right.
They're simply tools for self-reflection and exploration.
Right. Cardology is a system of knowledge, not a set of rigid rules.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's up to each individual to decide how they want to use this information to understand themselves,
right,
and the world around them.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm ready to dive into another card interpretation.
Okay.
What can you tell us about the Eight of Spades?
All right, so the Eight of Spades is a fascinating card.
Okay.
Often associated with power, transformation, and resilience. She's a natural builder and organizer.
Okay.
Someone who can create order out of chaos and achieve great things in the face of adversity.
She sounds like a real powerhouse. But I'm guessing she also has her challenges, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
Her strength and determination, when taken to an extreme, can become controlling and inflexible.
Right.
She might struggle to delegate tasks or let go of situations that are no longer serving her.
So it's like she needs to learn to soften her edges a bit.
Yeah.
Allow herself to be more vulnerable.
Exactly. And her karma cards might offer some guidance in this area.
Okay.
Her challenging karma card, the Jack of Hearts, suggests a need to connect with her emotional side and allow herself to be more playful and spontaneous.
Okay.
Her supporting karma card, the Queen of Clubs, might encourage her to explore her intellectual curiosity and connect with others on a deeper level.
Okay, I'm seeing a pattern here.
Yeah.
It seems like each card has its own unique set of strengths and challenges.
Right.
And the karma cards offer insights into how we can navigate those challenges and find balance in our lives.
That's a great observation. And it highlights the idea that cardology isn't just about describing personality,
all right,
but also about understanding the dynamics of growth and transformation.
Okay, this is all so fascinating. But I'm curious about something.
Sure.
We've talked a lot about the individual cards and their meanings.
Right.
But what about the suits themselves?
Okay.
You know they represent different areas of life.
Yeah.
But do they also influence, like, the individual cards within each suit?
Absolutely. Each suit has its own unique energy and symbolism,
okay,
that shapes the expression of its cards.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Let's start with the Suit of Hearts.
Okay.
What kind of energy does this suit represent?
Okay, so the source material describes hearts as governing the first period of our lives.
Okay.
The time of childhood.
Okay.
And representing love, family, home, relationships, emotions, and children.
So hearts are all about those warm, fuzzy feelings.
That's one way to put it. Yeah.
The source emphasizes that hearts signify emotion.
Okay.
And that people born under this suit often find fulfillment through love, compassion, and understanding.
Okay, so what kind of personality traits might we expect from a hearts person?
The source describes hearts people as childlike in nature.
Yeah.
Often maintaining a youthful exuberance even into later years.
Okay.
They tend to be sensitive, sensual, and drawn to beauty in all its forms.
So they're like the Peter Pans of the deck. Forever young at heart.
That's a great analogy. And the source suggests that this youthful energy can make hearts people naturally gifted artists, musicians, poets, and healers.
Okay, that makes sense. What about the Suit of Clubs?
Okay.
What kind of energy does that suit represent?
So the source describes clubs as governing the period of life after childhood.
Okay.
The time when we're sent off to school.
Okay.
And begin to develop our intellects.
Okay.
It represents the summertime of life.
Okay.
And symbolizes the mind, mental activities, communication, and information.
So clubs are the brains of the deck. That's one way to look at it.
Okay.
The source emphasizes that clubs people love to read, learn, and engage in conversations. They're curious, analytical, and always seeking knowledge.
So they're like the eternal students of the deck.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the source suggests that this intellectual energy can make clubs people excel in careers related to education, communication, law, writing, and counseling.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
What about the Suit of Diamonds? What kind of energy does that suit represent?
So the source describes diamonds as representing the harvest season. both in the year and in our lives.
Okay.
It symbolizes values, accumulation, material wealth,
okay,
and the pursuit of success.
So diamonds are all about money and material possessions.
That's a common interpretation, but the source emphasizes that diamonds can also represent the accumulation of intangible values, like knowledge, skills, and experiences.
So it's not just about the Benjamins.
Right.
It's about building a life of abundance in all areas.
That's a great way to put it. And the source suggests that diamonds people are often driven, ambitious, and entrepreneurial.
Okay.
They know how to create value and build successful businesses.
Okay, that makes sense. What about the suit of spades? What kind of energy does that one represent?
Okay, so the source describes spades as representing the season of winter.
Okay.
A time of introspection, transformation, and wisdom gained through experience.
Okay.
It symbolizes work, challenges, health, spirituality, and even death.
So spades are the elders of the deck.
That's one way to look at it.
Okay.
The source emphasizes that spades people are often hardworking, responsible, and resilient.
Okay.
They've learned valuable lessons through life's trials and tribulations, and they're not afraid to face difficult situations.
So they're like the wise owls of the deck.
Exactly. And the source suggests that this wisdom can make spades people excel in careers related to construction, broadcasting, healthcare, spirituality, and even death and dying.
Wow. Okay, I'm starting to see how each suit has its own unique energy and symbolism that influences the individual cards within it.
Yeah.
It's like each card is a character in a story.
Right.
And the suit provides the setting and the theme.
That's a great analogy. And it reminds us that cardology isn't just about analyzing individual cards in isolation.
Right.
It's about seeing the bigger picture, understanding how all the cards and suits interact to create a complex and nuanced tapestry of meaning.
So it's like a cosmic puzzle that we're trying to piece together.
Exactly. And the more pieces we find, the more we understand about ourselves and the world around us.
I really like that.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm really enjoying this deep dive into cardology.
Me too.
It's amazing how much information is packed into a simple deck of playing cards.
Right.
But I'm curious about something.
Sure.
You know, we've talked a lot about how cardology can be used for self-discovery and personal growth.
Right.
But can it also be used to analyze relationships?
Absolutely. The source material explicitly mentions the application of cardology in understanding relationship dynamics.
Yeah.
It even provides specific examples of how different card combinations can create harmonious or challenging interactions.
Okay, I'm all ears. Tell me more about how cardology can be used to analyze relationships.
Well, the source material suggests that you can analyze a relationship by comparing the life cards of the two individuals involved.
Okay.
It also introduces the concept of soul cards.
Soul cards?
Yes, which are specific cards that relate to different aspects of a relationship.
Okay.
Such as soulmate connections, karmic challenges, and supportive influences.
Okay, hold on. Let's break that down a bit.
Okay.
How do you compare life cards to understand a relationship?
So the source material doesn't go into great detail about the specific techniques for comparing life cards.
Okay.
But it does offer some general insights.
Oh.
It suggests, for example, that relationships between cards of the same suit tend to have a natural understanding and flow.
So a Queen of Hearts and a Seven of Hearts might find it easier to connect than, say, a Queen of Hearts and a Seven of Spades.
That's the idea, of course. There's much more to it than just the suit.
Right.
The face value of each card also plays a role,
right,
as do the planetary influences and the overall structure of each person's life script.
Okay, so it's a complex analysis.
Okay. Yeah.
What about those soul cards you mentioned?
Right.
How do they fit into the picture?
So the source material introduces several types of soul cards.
Okay.
Including the soul challenge card, the soul gift card, the soul twin card, and the soul trinity card.
Wow, that's a lot of different soul cards. Can we go through each type and explain how it might influence a relationship?
Absolutely. Let's start with the soul challenge card.
Okay.
The source material suggests that this card can represent a difficult but ultimately rewarding relationship dynamic.
Okay.
It's like the other person is holding up a mirror to your shadow side.
Okay.
Forcing you to confront your weaknesses and learn valuable lessons.
So a relationship that pushes your buttons but ultimately helps you grow.
Exactly. The source material emphasizes that the soul challenge card doesn't necessarily indicate a negative or unhealthy relationship.
Okay.
It simply suggests that the relationship will bring certain challenges and opportunities for personal development.
Okay, that makes sense. What about the soul gift card? How does that influence a relationship?
So the source material describes the soul gift card as representing a more harmonious and supportive relationship dynamic.
Okay.
It's like the other person brings out the best in you, offering encouragement, understanding, and unconditional love.
So a relationship that feels easy and natural.
It can be.
Yeah.
But remember, even the most supportive relationships have their challenges.
Right.
The source material cautions that the soul gift card doesn't guarantee a problem-free relationship.
Okay.
It simply suggests that the relationship will offer a certain level of support and encouragement.
Okay, I'm starting to see the nuances here. What about the soul twin card? What does that indicate about a relationship?
So the source material describes the soul twin card as representing a deep and intense connection, often associated with soulmate relationships.
Okay.
It suggests that soul twin relationships are characterized by a strong sense of familiarity.
Okay.
As if you've known each other in a past life.
So that feeling of like love at first sight.
It can be.
Yeah.
But the source material cautions that soul twin relationships can also be incredibly challenging.
Okay.
It's like you're two sides of the same coin, reflecting each other's strengths and weaknesses with equal intensity.
So a relationship with a lot of passion and potential, but it also requires a lot of work and understanding.
Exactly. It's a relationship that can be incredibly rewarding, but it's not for the faint of heart.
Makes sense. What about the soul trinity card?
Okay.
How does that one influence relationships?
So the source material describes the soul trinity card as representing a connection between three people who share a common purpose or destiny.
Okay.
It suggests that soul trinity relationships are characterized by a sense of shared vision and a deep level of trust and support.
So like a three-way soulmate connection.
It can be.
Okay.
But the source material cautions that soul trinity relationships can also be complex and challenging.
Okay.
It's like you're three points of a triangle,
yeah.
Each with your own unique perspective and role to play.
Okay, I'm starting to see how cardology can provide a fascinating framework for understanding the dynamics of relationships.
Yeah.
But I'm curious.
Yeah.
The source material mentions specific card pairings for these soul cards.
Right.
Could you give us some examples?
Absolutely. Here are a few examples of soul card pairings mentioned in the source material.
Right.
For soul twins, the Ace of Diamonds and the Two of Hearts.
Okay.
The Nine of Hearts and the Seven of Clubs.
Okay.
For soul trinity, the King of Spades, Jack of Hearts, and Eight of Diamonds.
Okay, so what do those pairings tell us about the relationships?
Well, the source material doesn't go into great detail about the specific dynamics of each pairing.
Okay.
But it does offer some general insight. It suggests, for example, that soul twin relationships often involve a give and take dynamic.
Okay.
With each person both supporting and challenging the other.
So a relationship with a lot of push and pull.
It can be, and it's often characterized by a strong sense of passion and intensity.
Okay. What about the soul trinity pairing? What does that one suggest about the relationship dynamic?
So the source material suggests that soul trinity relationships often involve a sense of shared purpose or destiny.
Okay.
The three individuals might work together to achieve a common goal.
Okay.
Or support each other through challenging times.
So a relationship built on collaboration and mutual support.
Exactly. It's a powerful combination of energies that can create incredible results when harnessed effectively.
Okay. I'm really starting to see the potential of cardology for understanding relationships.
Yeah.
It's like having a secret decoder ring for deciphering the complex dynamics of human connection.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
And remember, these are just a few examples of how cardology can be applied to relationships.
Uh-huh.
There's a whole world of insights to be gained from exploring the cards and their interactions.
Okay. I'm definitely intrigued.
Yeah.
But before we wrap up our deep dive, I want to touch on one more aspect of cardology that we haven't discussed yet.
Okay.
And that's the monthly and weekly ruling cards.
Ah, yes. The source material emphasizes the significance of those cards,
okay,
suggesting that they influence the energy and events of specific time periods.
Okay, so remind me how these ruling cards work.
So according to the source material, each month of the year is governed by one of the 12 court cards.
Okay.
And each week is ruled by one of the 52 cards in the deck.
Okay, so I have a life card based on my birthday.
Right.
But I also have monthly and weekly ruling cards that influence my experiences throughout the year.
Exactly. The source material suggests that these ruling cards can provide insights into the themes, challenges, and opportunities you might encounter during specific time periods. They can also influence your personality and behavior, adding another layer of complexity to your overall cardological profile.
So it's like these ruling cards are adding another layer of complexity to the already intricate tapestry of cardology.
It certainly adds another dimension to the analysis.
Right.
The source material provides specific examples of how these monthly and weekly cards can influence personality and life events.
Okay.
For instance, it highlights three famous Queen of Diamonds trans individuals.
Okay.
Martin Luther King Jr., Hugh Hefner, and Julian Assange.
Wow. Talk about a diverse group.
Yeah.
They all share the same life card.
Right.
But their lives took very different paths.
Exactly. And the source material suggests that their monthly and weekly ruling cards might have played a role in shaping those differences.
Okay, I'm really curious now. Can you tell me about their specific ruling cards and how they might have influenced their lives?
Certainly. The source material provides a table outlining their monthly and weekly cards. So for Martin Luther King Jr., his monthly card was the King of Spades, and his weekly card was the Jack of Clubs.
Okay.
For Hugh Hefner, King of Diamonds Monthly, Queen of Diamonds Weekly.
Yeah.
And for Julian Assange, King of Clubs Monthly and Queen of Spades Weekly.
Okay, so how do we interpret those cards? What kind of influence might they have had?
Well, let's start with Martin Luther King Jr., host speaker.
His monthly card was the King of Spades, which, as we discussed, is associated with leadership, responsibility, wisdom, integrity, and transformation. His weekly card was the Jack of Clubs, a card known for its creativity, communication skills, and potential for both positive and negative expressions.
Right.
So we see those qualities reflected in his life, right? He was a powerful leader who fought for social justice and inspired millions with his words. But he also faced significant challenges and ultimately met a tragic end.
Exactly. And his ruling cards might offer some insights into those challenges and triumphs. The King of Spades suggests a strong moral compass and a commitment to truth and justice, while the Jack of Clubs hints at his charisma, communication skills, and ability to connect with people on an emotional level.
Okay, that makes sense. What about Hugh Hefner? How did his ruling cards influence his life?
Well, his monthly card was the King of Diamonds, a card associated with material wealth, business acumen, and a focus on success and achievement. His weekly card was the Queen of Diamonds, which we discussed earlier, highlighting her leadership qualities, organizational skills, and potential for both positive and negative expressions.
So we see those qualities reflected in his life, right? He built a successful empire based on pleasure and entertainment, but he also faced criticism for his objectification of women and his lavish hedonistic lifestyle.
Precisely, and his ruling cards might offer some insights into his motivations and challenges. The King of Diamonds suggests a drive for material success and a focus on building a legacy, while the Queen of Diamonds hints at his charisma, business acumen, and ability to create a glamorous and seductive image.
Okay, I'm starting to see how these ruling cards can add another layer of meaning to the analysis. What about Julian Assange? How did his ruling cards influence his life?
Well, his monthly card was the King of Clubs, which, as we discussed earlier, is associated with knowledge, communication, intellect, and a pursuit of truth and justice. His weekly card was the Queen of Spades, highlighting her strength, resilience, and potential for both positive and negative expressions.
So we see those qualities reflected in his life, right?
Yeah.
He founded WikiLeaks, an organization dedicated to exposing government secrets and promoting transparency. But he also faced legal battles, accusations of espionage, and a long period of political asylum.
Exactly. And his ruling cards might offer some insights into his motivations and challenges. The King of Clubs suggests a deep commitment to truth and justice, a belief in the power of information, and a willingness to challenge authority. The Queen of Spades hints at his resilience, determination, and ability to withstand intense pressure.
Okay, this is all so fascinating. I'm really starting to see how cardology can provide a multifaceted understanding of individuals and their life paths. It's not just about the life card, but about the interplay of all the cards and planetary influences within a person's script.
That's precisely the beauty of this system. It acknowledges the complexity of human nature and offers a nuanced perspective on personality, destiny, and the challenges and opportunities we encounter throughout our lives.
It's like a cosmic dance between our innate potential and the ever-changing energies of the universe.
A wonderful way to put it. And remember, this deep dive has only scratched the surface of cardology. There are many layers to explore, intricate details to uncover, and endless possibilities for self-discovery and understanding.
It's definitely given me a lot to think about. So if our listeners are intrigued by cardology and want to learn more, what would you suggest?
I'd recommend exploring some of the source material we've discussed today. There are many books and online resources available that delve deeper into the history, philosophy, and applications of cardology.
And remember, as with any system of knowledge, approach it with an open mind, but also a healthy dose of critical thinking. Explore the concepts, experiment with the techniques, and see what resonates with you.
Absolutely. The ultimate goal is to use this knowledge to enhance your self-awareness, understand your strengths and challenges, and ultimately live a more fulfilling and meaningful life.
And who knows, maybe you'll even discover some hidden talents or unlock some unexpected potential along the way. That's all the time we have for today's deep dive into the fascinating world of cardology. We hope you've enjoyed the journey.
Until next time, keep asking questions, keep seeking answers, and keep diving deep into the mysteries of life.